side. So the relative warming potentials then, including the gas emissions, over the next 200 years then, carbon dioxide is going to achieve 50% of it. When you think about it, that's then the biggest player, so that's where most of the action is. The amounts then for Australia, 1990 at 297 megatons per year, 1996 at 330 megatons per year. If I grab the most recent data, it's just on a steady increase at the moment. There's a lot of initial moves towards reducing emissions, but because we're still so reliant on the current technologies, they haven't moved to anything different, it's still on a pretty good trajectory upwards. Radiative forcing, if we want to get an idea of what's actually going on in terms of the heat balance for the planet, we go to the tropopause. Whereabouts is the tropopause? And it's variable, depends whereabouts around the globe you are, where it is. It can be lower than that, but around 15 is a good number to have ballpark. So you're going up to there, that case where the temperature has stopped dropping, it's just hit the inflection point before it starts going up again in the stratosphere, and you look at the radiation balance. The change then that we're observing at the moment is due to the enhanced greenhouse effect due to putting more of these gases into the system than would normally be there. But we can get natural perturbations that change the radiative forcing. So Mount Pinatubo then in 1992-93 was a major volcanic eruption. Produced a huge amount of sulfur dioxide, fluffed into the atmosphere, turned into our non-sea salt aerosol, a non-sea sulfate aerosol. That then caused the reflection of incoming radiation. So what happened there was we changed the radiative balance. We weren't changing the outgoing, we were simply changing incoming. But because we're getting less incoming, then we get a cooling effect, and that changed the global temperature by half a degree C